Thank you.
That is a very real hope to us today. It's almost over. And so we don't want to give out and we don't want to give up at the end of this race. Praise the Lord. Let's turn this morning to the First chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. We will begin reading with verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We would continue with these messages that we have been considering the last few weeks on being called of God. And today, from verse 9, we have been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. This word fellowship is a very interesting word. It is koinonia in the Greek. It means partnership. It means communion, associate, common. It means to distribute or to give to others. It means sharer. It denotes a union of being joined unto one. Also signifies completeness. So there is a very wide range of things considered in this term, fellowship. Now, some years ago, there were those who enlarged on this word, because it does mean common. And because of that, because in the early church they had all things common, everyone sold their possessions there in Jerusalem, and they gave it all into one particular place, and some were trying to indicate that this is what God had in mind for the church age. And of course, that absolutely is not the truth. We must understand why God ordained them to do that, and that is because that God wanted to break the roots with Jerusalem. We find out that God did not want them to sit right down there in Jerusalem. He wanted the gospel spread. And so they sold all they had. They had no ties or attachments, and so the gospel was spread far and wide. We find those that stayed in Jerusalem did not fare very well. This is why Paul gathered up that lavish offering years later to take to the poor saints there in Jerusalem. So God did not intend that communal living for the church, as many insist. But there are some wonderful things that we absolutely must experience where fellowship is concerned. It is so very important that we understand God has called us unto fellowship, both with Christ and with one another. This term, fellowship, is used in a number of places to indicate the fellowship between man and man and between God and man. As we said, the early church had all things common. That was God's plan at that particular time. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that we are joined unto the Lord. We are one spirit. God intends that union, that fellowship that we are to have with the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:18 tells us of those who must be ready to distribute. Fellowship with those who are less fortunate, those who are in need. He says they're willing to communicate. The word communicates exactly the same word, koinonia. And so it is a fellowship of the possessions that we have. But today I want to notice that our text, I want to enlarge on this, our fellowship is to be with the Lord. As Paul says in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we put the fellowship of his Son first in our lives, I guarantee the fellowship with men will take care of itself. And so we want to enlarge on this fellowship that God, to which God has called us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are unlimited benefits to having fellowship with Christ. Let us notice just a few that are mentioned in these previous verses. Paul announced all of these things that are ours, and then he gives us the reason is because we've been called unto fellowship of Christ. Back up to verse 3. The first benefit of real fellowship with Jesus is indeed the grace that he would give unto us. Fellowship means sharer, and that's what he is doing. He is sharing his grace, himself, his various riches with us. And so grace unto you. Peace is another one from our God our Father. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God given you, shared with you by Christ Jesus. Verse 5, in everything you are enriched by him in utterance. Taking this fellowship that we have with Christ and being able to put it in words, so to speak, unto other people. In all knowledge, by spending time with Christ, by sharing with him, by being an associate with him, we indeed come to some tremendous knowledge that we would not get in any other way. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ, as we are in association with Christ, as we are joined unto him, as we are in union with him, yes, we do develop the very testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own personal lives. And indeed, that is confirmed in you. Verse 7, you become behind in no gift. Everything that we have comes from him. To spend time in his presence is to appropriate those gifts that he has. And it's in view of the coming of the Lord in verse 7. Verse 8, who shall confirm you unto the end? This is what happens if we are in full fellowship with him. And so he says, God is faithful who has called you into that glorious fellowship with Christ. All of these wonderful blessings stem from that fellowship, and there is much more as we go on in our experience. Fellowship must be an active part of our lives with God. He has called us to fellowship with his Son for a reason. We must be the sharer. We must be the partaker, the participant. We must be in communion with God. God always wanted communion or fellowship with man. That's why he created him. We saw in the message last week that Adam or God would come down in the cool of the day to have fellowship with Adam and Eve there in the garden. We found that that fellowship was broken, that they were expelled after they had partaken of the forbidden fruit. And so the fellowship broken. But God has always desired that fellowship. He created man for fellowship. But there are certain elements that we must have in our lives if we are going to experience the communion with God that he intended. Let us turn to the first chapter of 1 John. We find once again in these verses that God is the object of that fellowship. He is the object of that communion. And so we read in 1 John 1 in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Continuing the rest of this verse. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God intended it that way. That is the object of such fellowship with him. Skip on down here to verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We find out immediately that our fellowship with God is based on light. If men say they have fellowship with God, if they boast of their fellowship with God, of their close relationship with God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, because you cannot have fellowship with God unless you are in light. Verse 7, if we walk in the light. And the key word here is walk. It is practicality. It is not just a matter of theory. It's a matter of participation. We must share in this light. Indeed sharing with Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. And you will find him in no other place. He will always be in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the one with another is especially talking about fellowship with God. He fellowships with us. Sup with him and he with us. Even as Jesus said there in Revelation 3:20. If you open the door, if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That's the fellowship that God is talking about in this place. And so as we read here, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then you'll notice the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's another benefit of fellowship. We cannot be in the presence of God without being sanctified and separated unto him. Our very presence there, his presence with us, guarantees that separation, that sanctification, that cleansing. And so there is no substitute for this fellowship that we have with God. It is very important to understand here that we are talking about being on his ground. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. We find different ones in the scripture that have very plainly illustrate this. We all love that glorious statement there of Enoch. I believe it's the 5th chapter of Genesis. Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. That is our hope today, but you'll notice Enoch walked with God. There are many people today that want to walk their own way and then just call on the name of the Lord and he delivers them out of their difficulty. And that has happened over and over and over again. But beloved, God wants us to walk with him. We must limit our own freedoms. We must change our own will. We must not abide by our own desire, but rather walk with God. We read of Noah says the same thing. Noah walked with God. And this is one that should be so encouraging to us because we are living in the same days as those of Noah. And if Noah walked with God in those days, it means he didn't give in to all of the foolishness of how times have changed and you can't go according to the standards of the scripture anymore. I don't believe that. We must, as never before, cling to the principles of God's word and walk with God, which means we are walking in the light of God's word. He has never detracted from his standards. God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. If you walk before God, you will walk in the light because he is light. And so Abraham did that. We're not going to turn there, but we have considered this portion many, many times. I'm sure you're very familiar with it in the 18th chapter of Genesis and the wonderful communion or the fellowship that Abraham had with God at that time. There were three appeared before him. He recognized them as God, symbolic of the fullness of the Trinity. Abraham had that full revelation at that time. And so we find that God appeared unto him in the heat of the day. Abraham recognized him, and he ran to the flock, and he got a lamb, tender and good, and he fixed it, a meal for a king, and they sat down, and they had fellowship. They ate one with the other. And then the beauty of that communion, it was at that time that God told Abraham, after they had this meal, after they had supped one with another, so to speak. It was indeed God who told Abraham, Sarah shall have a child at about this set time next year. I'm telling us today that any time we have deep, intimate, meaningful fellowship with God, something good is going to happen in my life. And so it did with Abraham. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And indeed, God is going to be so beneficial in our lives. There is goodness in such fellowship. I want to turn back to the 25th chapter of Exodus and find some more of these wonderful elements, things that are necessary in our lives in order to have this kind of fellowship with God. Exodus 25, we've already seen these elements. This simply served to show that these things have been true throughout time. God hasn't changed anything. The same principles are still in effect today as they were then. And so in Exodus 25 and verse 21, we read this concerning the furniture that God was putting in the tabernacle. Verse 21, thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Verse 22, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God tells Moses and Aaron, I want to commune with you. I want to have fellowship with you. And so where is it to be done? He mentions first the mercy seat. The mercy seat corresponds in exactly the same thing as the throne of grace. It tells us of the same attitude we found there in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It is only because of divine grace that we come into the presence of God. We're not there because we deserve to be there. We're not there because God owes us anything. We're not there for any other reason outside. It is the grace of God that has opened that wonderful path unto us. We come to him on the basis of sheer divine grace. And then we read that the testimony is inside the ark. The testimony is none other than the word of God. This is how we come to him, because of grace, because of truth, because of light. These elements must be present in our experience if we are going to have this kind of fellowship and communion with God. We must walk in the light in order to have that fellowship with the Lord. And then there is another I want to notice. Let's go to the 22nd chapter of Luke. Luke 22. And it is so important to put this in context. As we have already seen from Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. This is the communion. This is the interaction. This is the participation. This is the sharing that we find brought out by the word fellowship. And here in the 22nd chapter of Luke, we must understand and put this in perspective. Verse 14, when the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus called them to this fellowship. Jesus gave his last request. We've heard of such things down through the ages of people having their last request, wanted their last request fulfilled before they passed out of this world. Think of Jesus, this man who was about to suffer beyond the realm of anything that man has ever gone through or will go through, any Christian. Jesus wanted to have fellowship with his disciples before he suffered, before he was taken out of this world. And so he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. We know that the Passover is symbolic of the cross. Once again, one of the great elements of real fellowship with God, just as it was with Abraham in that long ago day, our deepest fellowship with God comes around those truths of redemption and the cross of Calvary. We know that's why we're here. We know that the cross has made all of this possible for us. We give credence to the fact that God has provided all of these in Christ Jesus for us. And thus all glory and honor and attention is to be rendered unto him. And so it was with Jesus. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Verse 16, I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. His last act, his last request was fellowship with his saints. You and I are living in the days like unto that. We are living, beloved, in days just prior to be taken out of this world. Now, I realize that there are many in Christendom today who think that hope is just a myth. Let them think it if they want. But I believe with all my heart that Jesus could come at any moment and take us out of this world. And that is not wishful thinking. That's the Word of God. Whether he does or not is not important. I'll tell you what is important. What's important is, do I fully believe that Jesus will come and take me out of this world before death arrives? And indeed, that's a question that every believer is going to ask himself. And when we can answer in the affirmative, I will guarantee you there will be a change in our lives for the better. There will be a new perspective in my relationship and life before the Lord. And we will take it much more seriously than perhaps we ever have before. And so it must be the same thing with us as it was with Jesus. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. I want to partake of all of these glorious truths and blessings of redemption in order that I too be ready to go out of this world even as Jesus was. We will not turn there, but there is another verse. You know it well. Hebrews 10:25. Gives us our perspective for today. We must claim this in view of the fact that we are shortly to be taken out of this world. What does the Scripture say about fellowship? What does the Scripture say about what we should be doing? what our attitude should be in these closing hours, days of time. Hebrews 10:25 says it this way, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what Jesus did. He sat down with his disciples, and he had fellowship with them. There was a real participation, if you read the rest of that chapter in Luke, as you go to the 13th chapter of John and read that wonderful account of the Last Supper. There was a real sharing, a real participation, a real fellowship, a real communion in those hours before Jesus was taken out of the world. Let us make sure that we are having such fellowship with God and his people before we are ready to be taken out of this world.